Welcome. Good morning. We're glad that you could join us on Facebook Live. We sure wish we could be gathering here today, but unfortunately, we're still not able to do that. We look forward to the day when we can gather together physically again as a church and worship together in this place. But until then, again, welcome. We're glad that you could worship with us. This morning, I am continuing in a message series I began several weeks ago entitled Dangerous Prayers. Dangerous Prayers was based on a book with that same title by a pastor by the name of Greg Rochelle. Greg wrote this book in hopes to help people discover ways that they can deepen their prayer life, that they can move to a place of intimacy and passion in their prayer life that takes them to this place in their relationship with God that they've never been before. It came for me at a season where I was seeking to see what could I do that would just strengthen and deepen my prayer life. And this book came across my desk. It was a book that I couldn't put down. It would be a book that I would recommend for you to check out, to buy it. You can find it online. Again, Dangerous Prayers by Greg Rochelle. So in this series, we began the 1st of March. We kicked off the series by looking at what it means to just be a people of prayer. I encourage you that prayer is really simply communication with God. It's just simply talking with God. And in this first message series that I entitled Just Pray, I encouraged us to talk to God with gut level honesty about everything and anything in our lives. I encouraged us to pray continually. The Bible says that we should pray without ceasing or never stop praying. And then I encouraged us to listen. Listen to how God might want to speak to us. You know, there's a lot of different ways that God can speak to us. The dominant way that he speaks to us is actually through his word, through the Bible. But God also talks to us through his people, the church. God talks to us actually in dreams. God talks to us in our conscience. God talks to us through his Holy Spirit prompting us to places in our lives. And so we kicked off this message series with a simple, simple place of just pray. Just be a people of prayer. The next week, we looked at what does it mean for us to ask God to speak to us. You know, we often spend our lives praying and we pray and we talk to God, but often we don't take the time to listen to what it is that God might want to say to us. We used a story from the Old Testament about a young 12-year-old boy named Samuel who God was speaking to him. And in that series, in that message, we learned what it means to just simply to be still, to position ourselves in such a way that we can actually hear the voice of God. Then for most of us in our hyper-busy world, being still is probably a pretty big challenge. But it's not just about being still, but it's also about being willing to hear what it is that God might want to speak to us. And then by being ready to do that which we sense or we hear God speaking to us. So week one was an encouragement to pray. Week two was an encouragement to invite God to speak to us and to position ourselves so we could actually hear from God. In week three that we looked at a couple weeks ago, we used an amazing psalm, Psalm 139, one of David's most amazing psalms, where David invites God to search him. And in that message, I invited you as well to position yourselves in such a way that God could search us, that we invite God to actually to examine our hearts to see if there's anything in there that he needs to do some work on. In this prayer of search me, we invite God to refine our thoughts, to look at how we think, and because how we think determines how we feel, and that determines how we act. And so we want to invite God into our thought life as well. When we ask God to search us, we ask God to expose our offenses, to expose anything in us that might be at odds with God, to expose anything that might be hindering us in our relationship with God. And then the last part of that message was asking God to lead us towards righteousness. So when we invite God to search us, we want God to examine our hearts, to examine our minds, how we think. We want God to expose the things in our lives that are hindering us in our relationship with Him. And then we want to ask God to lead us towards righteousness. I found this amazing quote as I was preparing for this message by Jennifer Dukes Lee, and she writes this. She says that prayer is the place where the born again are reborn again and again. And I think that we could actually put several words in there, that prayer is the place where the born again are recreated over and over, where the born again are renewed over and over again, where the born again are restored over and over again. So prayer is that place that moves us into intimacy with God, where we allow God to do things in us and with us that draw us closer to His heart. Well, today we're going to look at the next message in this series, and it's probably one of the hardest prayers that we could actually pray. And in this series, we're going to invite God to break us. Yes, you heard me right. We are going to invite God to break us. It is a courageous prayer. It is a difficult prayer. It is both a prayer of revelation and eradication, where we are asking God, we are inviting God to break us of everything and anything that might be hindering our relationship with Him. Now, here's what I know. I know several things about this idea, this prayer of inviting God to break us. I think this may very well be the hardest prayer that any of us will ever pray. Honestly, right? Who would easily say, all right, God, I want you to break me of everything and anything that might be hindering my relationship with you? I think that's a very difficult prayer. I think that's a very courageous prayer, because God might reveal some things that we weren't even aware of. Clearly, there are lots of things in our lives that we are aware of, but God may also show us some additional things that He wants to break us of that we're not even aware of. So I know that this may very well be one of the hardest prayers that we could ever pray, right? We can invite God to speak to us. We can invite God to search us, but inviting God to actually break us of those things is a difficult prayer. I also believe that this prayer of God, break me, I believe that breaking is a process. I believe that it is a process. It can be a long and tedious and painful process. Because growth is difficult. Growth can be challenging, right? And this breaking is a process where we are having our hearts and our minds literally transformed by God. And so that can be a very long, difficult process for many of us. I also believe that breaking isn't a one-time thing. See, here's what I've experienced in my life. When I've invited God into my life and say, God, show me those places in my life that are hindering my relationship with you or my relationship with others, it's like the spotlight comes on my life and reveals and exposes these certain things. And then I begin working on those things, and I begin to allow God and His Holy Spirit to renew and recreate and restore things in my life. And you know, just about the time that I kind of feel like I get that thing worked on, it's like the spotlight shifts over, and then God begins to shine a light in another area of my life that has yet to be conformed or be transformed by the renewing of my mind and the renewing of my spirit. And so this idea of being broken isn't a one-time thing. It's something that we as believers in Christ experience time after time after time, that it's not just a one-time fix it and we're all done. As a matter of fact, in the church, we have a word for that. That word is sanctification, where we are seeking to become more and more like Christ every day, where we are asking God to do His work in our lives so that we will be more and more transformed to the image of Christ. And so that breaking isn't a one-time thing. And then I also believe, and I believe this strongly, what breaks us makes us. What breaks us makes us. Because I believe that God doesn't take any of our experiences and we don't ever get to use those again. As a matter of fact, I think God takes the culmination of all of our experiences, all the things that we have gone through or we are going through or we will yet go through. And I believe that God uses those things to remake us, to recreate us. And so breaking is something that actually has the capacity to make us into something so much more. And so this is a difficult prayer, asking God to break us, asking God to do this amazing work in us. You know, there's kind of no one in Scripture that we see more clearly doing this than David. David from the Old Testament. David, a guy who is described as a man after God's own heart. And yet David was frail as well. David did many things that were not the right choices. David did many things that broke the heart of God. And yet at the same time, he was a guy who continually searched and asked God to do a work in him. In Psalm 51, one of my favorite psalms that we find in Scripture, David prays these words. He asks God to create in him a clean heart. He goes on to say, to renew a right spirit within him, to restore the joy of his salvation. Because what David recognizes is that the sacrifice God desires is a broken spirit. The sacrifice that God wants, what he wants from our lives, is to be broken enough that we actually will fix our eyes on him, that we will go where God says to go, that we will do what God says to do, that we will allow God to do things in us, with us, and through us to make us more and more like Christ every day. Then in Psalm 139, David says these words. He prays and he asks God, he says, point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. That's a difficult prayer, isn't it? That's a challenging prayer, that we would actually ask God to point out anything in our lives that might offend him. Again, it doesn't affect how much God loves us, because God loves us unconditionally. There's nothing we can do that will make God love us any more, any less than he already does. But there are things in us that literally offend God. And so a dangerous prayer is inviting God to point out those things that might be offensive to him, and then to lead us along paths toward everlasting life. Paul puts it this way in Romans 12:1. He says, give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. That's a difficult prayer, isn't it? To give all of who we are to God. To say, not my way, but yours. Not my will, but yours. Where you say go, I'll go. What you say do, I'll do. In the same way where he says, don't go, we won't go. Where God says, don't do, we won't do. But how do we actually offer ourselves, our whole being, as a living and holy sacrifice, meaning that we are set apart for God's purposes, to live the kind of lives that God wants us to live? And then we find these words in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, where James writes, dear brothers and sisters, when trouble of any kind comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. When we allow our faith to grow, when our endurance is fully developed, James tells us that we will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So what does it mean to be broken? I remember when I went to seminary, one of my mentors, one of my good friends who led me to the seminary that I attended, Asbury Theological Seminary, He gave me some advice before I left. Actually, I was getting in my car. I was packed up. I was ready to leave Texas and move to Kentucky. And I remember Ken saying these words to me. He said, "George, when you go to seminary, allow God to break you. Allow God to do a work in you so you will be more fully equipped to be the pastor that he called you to be." And I remember in my drive thinking about those words. What do you mean, allow God to break me? What do you mean, allow God to do that kind of a work? I'm going to graduate school. You know, I don't really understand what you're talking about. But when I got to Asbury, one of the things that I discovered is that when we avail ourselves and open ourselves up to the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives, when we reach the place where we say again to God, "Not my will, God, but yours," then God begins to do this work in us. He begins to reveal the things in us that he finds both offensive and that actually hinder us from being the men and women that God created us to be. You see, when we allow God to break us of things like pride or prejudice, things like anger or anxiety, things like self-sufficiency or selfishness, when we allow God to break us of our addictions and our anxieties, anything and everything that hinders us to have a full and complete relationship with God, when we allow God to break us of those things, that, my friends, is where I believe we begin to experience and know what new and abundant life is really all about. It's a place where we begin to experience the fullness of the life that God has for us. You see, when we're broken, when we say, "Not my way, God, but yours, not my will, God, but yours," we discover several things. We discover things about our identity, as a matter of fact. When we're broken, we discover things like we don't care what anybody else thinks. Now, I don't mean to sound harsh on that, but what I mean is that we don't really care what anybody else thinks about us. Are we good enough or smart enough, or are we sophisticated enough, or are we successful enough in our careers? We begin to reach this place where we don't care so much what other people think, but what we really care about is what God thinks about us. And again, as I said before, and I say this all the time, God loves us right where we are. But he loves us way too much to leave us right there. And the person that we should be concerned about what, who they think about is God. And my friends, God loves us. But God has this amazing plan for us, this amazing purpose for us to experience abundant life. And so when we're broken, we don't care what the world says, what the world thinks about us. In other words, we discover that our hearts are crowded with stuff that's crowding Jesus out. Now, let me say that again. Is that when we allow God to break us, when we allow God to reveal the things in our lives that are offensive to God or are a hindrance to our relationship with God, we actually discover that our hearts are crowded with all kinds of stuff that's crowding out Jesus. And so what this prayer invites us to do is to begin doing some cleaning, to begin doing some things that remove the debris that's inside of ourselves, inside of our hearts and our minds. My guess is that many of us during this season where we're experiencing social distancing and where we're quarantining ourselves in our house, my guess is most of you are like me. We have been doing some amazing cleaning in our house. I have been doing yard work, and I hate doing yard work, but we have ripped up all of our outside landscaping so we can start anew, start afresh, because everything got overgrown and it wasn't looking very good. And you know, that just happened over time. Until all of a sudden we began looking at it and we're like, hey, that doesn't look so good. Let's start over again. So this has allowed us to do some of those things. Some of you have been going through closets. Some of you have been going through those little storage areas of your house. You're like, why do I have all these things? Well, you discover that you got a lot of stuff that you don't even use or that you don't even need. Well, I think that's a great example of what I'm talking about here when we're talking about God breaking us, is that we begin to not care so much about what people think. We don't care so much about that stuff, but we begin to eradicate that stuff so we make room for what God wants for us. I think we also discover when we're broken that we create the conditions for recreation. We create the conditions for recreation. I put it this way. New construction often requires demolition. New construction often requires demolition. Now, my family, we are big HGTV fans. We love to watch those shows, and we love to watch when they find a property and they tear it up and they do something new to it. And one of our favorites is kind of Fixer Upper, and I actually have a t-shirt that my brother and sister-in-law in Texas sent me that says hashtag demo day from that show. Is that, again, I think that's a great metaphor for what we ask God to do when we say to break us, is that he's got to demolish some of the stuff in our life that we've allowed to build up that actually is a hindrance to our relationship with him, so that he can recreate new things because we've made room for that. So when we're broken, we create the conditions for recreation. We get to start over. We get to tear all the stuff down and we start building back up in such a way that we can create something new and something amazing. I think number three, when we're broken, we want God more than anything else. See, that happens when we're broken, right? When we say that there's stuff that we can't do or that we shouldn't do, when we begin to identify things in our lives that are really hindering us in our relationship with God, what we really want in this prayer of God, break me, what we really want is to say, God, I want you more than anything else. That's a difficult prayer too, isn't it? I think it's a difficult prayer because we are creatures of want, right? But what would our lives look like if we were able to say and to really pray, God, I want you. I want you in a right relationship with you more than anything else. You see, I believe when we reach that place, we open ourselves up to this amazing recreating work of God. Craig Rochelle writes in his book, Dangerous Prayers, he says, it's the challenges in life that help us mature and draw us closer to Christ, right? It's the challenges in life that help us mature and draw us closer to Christ. Why is that? Well, because when life is just going along and everything seems to be okay, we kind of forget about God, don't we? When life just is going by and things just seem to be real smooth, we kind of just reach this place where we're like, hey, God, I'll call you if I need you, or I'll reach out if I need you. And quite frankly, for most of us, it's a place of either stagnation or decline in our relationship with God. And so I agree with Greg that the idea is in the challenges of life, it's in these challenges that we have the opportunity for God to mature us and to draw us closer to him, to do this recreating work in us. We've all been challenged these last few weeks, right? We've got to come up with new ways of doing things. We are living in realities that are very different than what any of us had ever thought that we'd have to do. But it's in these challenges that we're going to be stronger, that we're going to come out on the other side. We have the potential to come out stronger and healthier and better because we've allowed these challenges in our lives not to destroy us, not to knock us down, but to actually help us to fix our eyes on Christ and to draw us to the very heart of God. I would also put it this way. So don't waste the this challenge. Don't waste this challenge. Find ways that you have time now that maybe you haven't had before or that you didn't make before to draw you closer to Christ by being people digging into his word, by watching podcasts and online services such as this, by spending time in prayer, by doing those things that are going to really deepen your relationship with God. See, I believe that we have the opportunity to come on the other side of this social distancing actually in a better relationship with Christ than we were before. But it's a choice that we have to make, because I believe that we also have the ability to come out worse because of the choices that we make in the midst of this crisis. So I would encourage you to be a people who want God more than anything else, and then do what it takes to have yourself drawn in to the very heart of God. And then number four, when we're broken, we don't care so much what others think. We create the conditions for recreation. We want God more than we want anything else. And so what we'll do is that we position ourselves to be blessed and to be a blessing. When we're broken, when we allow God to do this serious work in our lives, then we position ourselves to be blessed because we're in a closer relationship with Christ, and to also be a blessing. See, because I believe Craig said in his book is that in our strength, we make ourselves look good, but in our brokenness, we point others towards Christ. And so we have the opportunity to position ourselves in such a way that we learn a bunch, that we've allowed God to do this amazing work in our lives, where we've begun to focus our desires, our passions on our relationship with God more than anything else, that God's going to use that as we seek to bring his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. See, what this really means is, in our weaknesses, we discover God's strength. When we can't do it on our own, when we're lost, we discover God's strength in the midst of that. When we lean into the power and the presence of God, we discover a strength that gets us through to the other side, that gets us to the other place. It's been said that God doesn't always calm the storm, but he will lead us through the storm if we will keep our eyes fixed on him. So when we position ourselves to be blessed and to be a blessing, it's in our weaknesses that we discover God's strength. Greg says in his book, in our brokenness, we often experience God's greatest blessings. Do you know why that happens? Because we're literally able to jettison the things in our lives that are not good for us. When we invite God to do his breaking work in us, we see the places and the things in our lives where we've become idolatrous about. We see those things and experience those things in our lives that really are offensive, that hinder us in our relationship with God. And so when we invite the breaking work of God in our lives, we position ourselves to experience this great blessings where stuff that had a hold on us before doesn't have a hold on us anymore. The stuff that we spent our resources on and our time on, we don't spend our resources and our time on those things anymore. And that can be a real blessing. Again, many of us have discovered that in our social distancing during this coronavirus challenge is that we're spending more time at home. We're not as busy as we used to be. And I think business is one of the greatest hindrances to our relationship with God and relationship with others. So when we invite God to do his breaking work in our lives, I think that is the opportunity. I agree that we just experience God's greatest blessings. David put it this way in Psalm 118, verse 5. He says, in my distress, I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me, and the Lord set me free. David had a lot of distress on his life, and quite frankly, most of that came by his choices. And I think in that way, we can identify with David in many ways. that because of our choices, because of things we do, we create distress in our life. And so when we have distressing times and seasons and moments in our lives, I want to ask you, do you pray? And do you seek the Lord? See, because I believe when we pray, God does stuff. One of the things that our folks here often hear me say is this amazing quote by Maxie Dunham, who was the president of Asbury Seminary when I was there. He said that there are things that God either cannot or will not do and until people pray. That there are things that God cannot or will not do until and unless people pray. Not he can't, like he's not powerful enough, but he's not going to, because he wants us to be drawn into this intimate, passionate relationship with him. So in your distress, when you're facing the challenges of our current day, are you praying? Are you doing the things that we're inviting you to do, to just pray, to ask God to speak to us, to ask God to search us, to reveal those things in our lives? See, I believe that this psalm is true, that if we will do that, in our distress, if we pray, the Lord will answer us. And he doesn't just answer us, but he sets us free. He sets us free of our problems. He sets us free of some of the challenges that we've created in our lives. He sets us free of the things that hold us back and prevent us from being and doing all that God wants us to be and to do. And so I have a question for you. A question for you this day. Are you willing? Are you really willing to pray this dangerous prayer? To simply say, God, break me. Break me, God, of anything and everything that hinders my relationship with you and my relationship with others. Break me, God, of those fears and those anxieties. Break me, God, of those habits and those hang-ups that I know they're not good for me. I know, as a matter of fact, they've been pretty bad for me. God, break me free even of relationships that are not good for me. Break me free of a thinking that limits the work that you want to do in me. God, break me free of thinking too much about what others think about me, and help me to see myself in light of how you see me, because your word tells me that I'm a masterpiece, knit together in my mother's womb, created on purpose and for a purpose. Are you willing, really willing, to allow God to break you? If you pray that prayer, I am fully confident that God will bring you out on the other side stronger, healthier, better positioned to experience the full blessings of God and to be a blessing to others. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, this is a difficult prayer for us, where we ask you to break us. Lord, I'm sure that there are many of us, many who are hearing these words, and probably everything inside of us is saying, no, God, I don't want you to do that. I don't want to experience those difficulties and those pains. Lord, I do not want that tedious, long process of you, like, destructing and deconstructing so that you can reconstruct and rebuild. Lord, but I pray that right now you would move this day and in the days ahead in the hearts and minds of your people. Lord, that they would allow your Holy Spirit to do a refining, recreating, renewing, restoring work, so that we might experience the abundant, full life that you have for us. And God, would you just come? Would you break us? Would you break us of all those things so that we might know you more, that we might live for you, that we might experience full life? In Jesus' name, we